What are the main findings of Women, Business and the Law 2014? There are several. First, and this perhaps will not come as a surprise, gender inequality is widely prevalent. Of the 143 countries that we cover, only 15 have no restrictions of differentiations embedded in the law in any of the 47 areas that we look at. This is an interesting set of countries. It includes countries that you would expect to find there, like Canada and the Netherlands and New Zealand. But it also includes countries like Peru and the Dominican Republic and Armenia. It includes five members of the European Union, Estonia, Hungary, the Netherlands, the Slovak Republic, and Spain. This privileged grouping of 15 countries with no restrictions suggests that perhaps income is not a determining factor in terms of the presence or absence of restrictions against women. There is a line of argument which has sometimes been put forward, namely that we need only wait a couple of hundred years for all the countries to become rich and prosperous because gender equality will come as a result of prosperity. But the fact that in this group of 15 countries, we have countries that are, say, middle income or lower middle income suggests to me that perhaps the issue is far more complicated than simply saying that prosperity would lead to gender equality. To come back to the data, there are 28 countries among the 143 that have at least 10 or more differentiations or restrictions, and 25 of these countries are located in the Middle East and North Africa region and in Sub-Saharan Africa. Of course, even in these 15 countries that have no restrictions, we will still find a gender gap. There will still be significant differences in terms of, for instance, political empowerment, women's participation in parliament, economic opportunity and other forms of economic participation, access to education, and so on. 90% of the countries have at least one difference or restriction embedded in the law. The Women, Business and the Law data is actually quite powerful because once you codify this information, then it allows you to basically look at the situation in particular countries. So, for instance, we can go to Sub-Saharan Africa and we learn that in Burundi there are three restrictions. Women cannot convey citizenship to their husbands. In Chile, there are five. There is no non-discrimination clause, which includes gender as a protected category in the Chilean constitution. And there are several others as well, but this is one particular example. In the case of the Islamic Republic of Iran, there are 12 restrictions embedded in the law. Women have to obey their husbands. They have to obtain their authorization to travel, and the husbands get to choose where the woman lives, and there are gender differentiated inheritance rights, and so on. The list is quite extensive, as you can imagine. A second insight that comes from the Women, Business and the Law data is that in 79 countries, laws restrict the types of jobs that women can do. The most extensive set of restrictions are actually can be found in the Eastern and Central Europe and Central Asia. In Russia, for instance, there is a total of 456 jobs from which women are prevented. In Russia, a woman cannot be a truck driver in agriculture, she cannot be a bulldozer machinist, she cannot be a controller of speed or of train wagons, she cannot be an operator in the metro. 456 such restrictions across a broad range of industries. In Kazakhstan, there are 299. She cannot be a lumberjack, she cannot be a snowmobile driver, and so on. In many of these restrictions, one can sometimes sense a kind of well-meaning paternalism, you know, a kind of patronizing attitude taken by men who, by and large, control the bodies that make the rules. Many of these jobs, of course, are high-paying. And the fact that women in Russia, for instance, cannot work in oil rigs and cannot work in other kinds of occupations in the energy sector, you know, contributes to a very large wage gap between men and women. We, on this occasion of the publication of this latest Women, Business and the Law report, we took a look at what has happened with those indicators that capture accessing institutions and the use of property over the last 50 years. We were able to trace for a total of 100 countries. You know, we went back to 1960 and we read the law then, and we were able to compare over a 50-year period between 1960 and 2010. You know, what had actually happened to those 17 indicators which are captured by these two broad categories: access in institutions and using property. And there are sort of very interesting insights that come out of that analysis. Sub-Saharan Africa, for instance, had the most restrictions in 1960, and by 2010 had implemented the highest numbers of reforms. And just to give you an example, in Benin in 1960, sons and daughters had unequal inheritance rights. Spouses had unequal inheritance rights. Husbands were heads of households. A woman needed permission from her husband to get a job, to open a bank account, to sign a contract, to initiate any kind of legal proceedings. There was no non-discrimination clause in the constitution, and so on. Well, many of these restrictions had been eliminated by 2010, and this is very encouraging. There were significant reforms in Latin America, in Argentina, in Bolivia, in Brazil, in Colombia, in Peru, in Paraguay. To give you an example, in Brazil, until 1988, a husband was head of household. And this, in a very fundamental way, limited or sort of conferred legal ability to the husband to represent the family, to choose the domicile, to administer marital assets, including his wife's separate assets. The Central and Eastern European and Central Asia region had very few restrictions, interestingly, in 1960, and they were largely gone by 2010. The OECD had more, but they were also removed from the books. Sometimes surprisingly late, Spain, for instance, in 1981, Switzerland by 1984. The Middle East and North Africa region is the region where one sees the least progress made over the last 50 years, with many countries showing setbacks. For instance, in Iran in 1975, the family protection law established equal rights to work for both spouses. But in 1979, with the revolution, this was reversed, allowing husbands to keep wives from working. We have a similar example coming from Egypt. In 2007, the constitution included, for the first time, a clause with gender as a protected category. But this had been was eliminated in 2012 during the latest political upheavals and the arrival of a new regime after President Mubarak. In Indonesia, in 1974. Finally, a law on marriage replaced the Dutch Civil Code of 1874, which then meant that with a 100-year delay, you know, women could, for the first time, open bank accounts in Indonesia. On the whole, there has been great progress over the last 50 years. More than half of the restrictions in these two areas, accessing institutions and property, you know, were actually removed over this period, which suggests that change indeed is feasible. And this is, I think, a very encouraging message.